Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On June 9th, you will elect your district attorney for Fulton County. This race will be decided in the Democratic primary. The candidates for this race are District Attorney current Paul Howard, Christian Y. Smith, and Fani Willis. Fani Willis is the former chief judge of the city of South Fulton. Also was a senior prosecutor for the Fulton DA's office. And now she is running for that post. Ms. Willis, thank you for being on the program. How are you?
I am great. Just happy to be here this morning with my good friend, Rashad Ritchie. Thank you for having me.
Since I've known you for a long time, and you have been definitely a trailblazer in the field of criminal justice, we've talked about reform issues to length. In the past, and I see it is part of your platform. You have something called a pre-indictment diversion program, and we're going to get into all of that. But why are you running for your former boss's post?
I am running for my former boss's post because it's just time for a change. The way that the office is running, it simply does not serve the citizens of this county well. I do not believe that it is keeping us safe adequately. And just as you stated, some of those reform issues, there is so much more that we could do to help community. And I am the right person to get those things done. We need to be at a point where we are uplifting the community. We need to be a part of the community. We need to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. And the way that business has been done in the past is simply not is not doing that. And I want to make sure that I make this point, Rashad, because I think that people are confused about it. The seat does not belong to an individual. It is not his seat or his job. It is the job that belongs to the citizens of Fulton County, and they need someone in that job that understands that service is the order of the day, and they are there to serve them, the citizens, not him and whatever his needs are.
Let's talk about some of the very practical elements that are happening right now. Obviously, you are well aware of the protests and civil unrest going down throughout the city, and it has sparked because of the death of George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd. But really, it speaks to the frustration that young people have with the criminal justice system at large. What would you do to address that frustration specifically with our young citizens in the county?
And I want to just correct you on one thing. And you know, I think you're a brilliant man, but I think that people get it confused when they say that this is about George Floyd. It is about George Floyd. And
well, no, sister, I want to make sure you know where I'm going with that. I said earlier on my show that this is much bigger than George Floyd, but the protests were sparked because of the death of George Floyd. Right. That was my context. The protest was sparked because of that. But obviously criminal justice at large is the question.
Right. And just I just want to make sure that I think that too many names have been forgotten. I mean, we can't forget Philando Castile and Ahmaud Arbery and all of the other people that have been hurt. And I think that, you know, I've seen some of the media that is a little different than you try to limit it to this one man. And listen, my maiden name is Floyd. This one hits me as hard as any. And watching that video is just extremely difficult. But I agree with you. It is about the larger picture. And so the question is, what would I do that is going to specifically help the young people that are frustrated with the system? And I don't think it's just the young people. I think that us as citizens in general are frustrated with what we see in the system. We're frustrated what we see as preferential treatment for different groups. And the things that I'll do, and I want to make sure that I talk in real, everybody can understand form. I always talk about an indictment, and I don't think people understand what an indictment actually is. It's not what happens when the police arrest you. It is what happens after a district attorney gets the case. What I know as a real, just practical matter is that once someone is indicted, it is really hard to come from up under that. It is something that puts so much negativity on your life. It's hard for you to get a student loan. It's hard for you to get a job. It is hard for you to just move in a normal method in society. And so one thing that I am constantly talking about is before we issue indictments under my administration, we're going to make sure, one, that an indictment should be issued. Because what's happening now too often is the police bring that off as a case and it is just instantly charged. That's not to say the police didn't do their job, because remember, their standard is so low. It's probable cause. So one witness comes to them and says, Rashad Ritchie does X, they make an arrest. That should not be what we bring indictments on, though. We should have gone back and done thorough investigations. And if we find that, okay, Rashad Ritchie did X, then that indictment should come down. But it should not just come down. The fact that that proper investigation happens, it's going to mean so many more people are not in jail. It's going to impact so many lives. Also, let me tell you the flip side of that. When that investigation is done properly and we find out that, oh, yes, Rashad Ritchie did X, and we do bring down that indictment, that is going to give so much peace to the victim who was actually harmed and was harmed by X who we have charged. That is one thing. You know, it's what I get really, really excited about is this pre-indictment diversion program. Why is that so important? Again, once someone has the indictment on their back, there are all these negative consequences. What we are going to find is sometimes Mr. X did do what we say he did. But is the only remedy charging them and taking them through the criminal justice system? I'm here to tell your listeners it's not. That there are other ways that we can make sure that youthful offenders and people maybe even at 50, you know, I'm 48 this year and I see my peers doing stupid stuff for the first times in their life. Maybe the appropriate remedy is not always to bring that formal indictment, but maybe we can partner them with community leaders. And I've been talking to these community leaders, including you, where they can do community service so they do pay back the harm that they did, and they can take classes as to why this impacts society as a whole. And maybe we don't have to charge them every time. And that is a completely different philosophy than has been operating in that district attorney's office for the last 24 years. And it's going to have real consequences on young and old people, but the community at large.
Fani, I thank you. We have more on the other side of the break. Something that I've talked about often in criminal justice reform is that we have to distinguish the difference between people we are mad at and people that really deserve to be in prison. Now, there are some crimes you look at a person and you say, I'm really upset at that person for doing that. And there are other crimes where you say, what this individual did created such an adverse impact to the society, they need to sit down in a jail somewhere. And we have to create a system that can understand the difference in to understand the difference in both. We got more on the other side. I got Fonnie Willis, candidate for Fulton County District Attorney. She's given us her platform and her plan if she is elected on June 9th. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Listeners are buzzing on social media. One listener writes, I like the woman running for Paul Howard's seat. Like her, I like her energy. Great interview. I hope that Governor Kemp won't get the opportunity to appoint a Republican replacement. Fonnie Willis is on the program. She is articulating her position, why she's running for this seat. And it is the people's seat. Fonnie, thank you for remaining on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Anytime you want me here, I'll be here. And I'll come back as many times as you want between now and June the 9th.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for that. And we want you after June the 9th as well, especially if you win. And I'm sure you'll commit to that,
know,
too.
I've been wanting to correct you. You keep saying that if, and you know me and you, we have jokes with each other and words are important. So when I am the district attorney, this is what I promise you. The first show will be with you.
That's beautiful. That's awesome. We thank you for that, Fonnie. Let's talk about the politics of it all, because as you know, running for political office, you have this awesome opportunity to highlight your strengths. And then you have the opportunity to also dispel perceived negatives. I talk to a lot of people. I talk to people every day in the heart of this city, on air and off air. The number one negative or perceived negative I want you to talk to is your prosecution of the Atlanta public school teachers during the cheating scandal. That's one. And then I have another question about what a candidate said at a forum. But I want you to talk to your involvement as a senior prosecutor in that cheating scandal. And for those who are saying, I like her, but I have an issue with how that case was charged and dealt with.
Okay. So I will talk about that. And you know what people have asked me to do, but you know, ultimately in this life, you got to answer to God, Rashad Ritchie. And what people have all constantly asked me to do is just throw my old boss under the bus. Just say, hey, he made me do it. And so that's why I did it. But that would be so disingenuous. And anyone who has spent 5 minutes with me would know, you know, they say, tell them you're a single mom and you had to keep your job. And so that's why you did it. But I couldn't look myself in the mirror if I did that. This is what I want to share with you, Rashad Ritchie. I was the lead prosecutor. I was assigned to it at really the last hour, right before the indictment was going to come due because of some things that had gone on in the office. And didn't really know much about the case, haven't paid much attention to it because, you remember, I'm busy trying murders. But got to learn the case. I sat on the couch with hundreds of moms and hundreds of children who talked to me about teachers telling them you ain't going to be and I won't cuss on your show and telling them they were stupid and that they had to circle this way. And everyone in this equation and mothers who don't have the education I have were really impoverished, knew that something was wrong, but didn't have the power to go and change things, but how harmed their children were. What I want to tell you, Rashad Ritchie, is those children that were cheated, the averages that they drop out in 10th grade, and then we see them in the criminal justice system. It is probably why I am so passionate about giving these kids a chance to get educated and to make sure that they don't have indictments and they don't have further consequences. And so would I have, I went to every teacher and they were offered diversionary programs. You know, people always talk about the one person was acquitted, but do you remember that 23 took pleas, 11 were convicted of a jury of 6 black people and 6 white people. And I just would implore people, I'm going to be the district attorney that is fighting for old people that can't fight for themselves. The district attorney that is fighting for poor people. The district attorney that is fighting for children. The district attorney that is fighting for wealthy people. The district attorney that is fighting for business owners. The district attorney that is fighting for just your average citizen when they are wronged. The teachers never was the intention for a teacher to go to jail or spend a day in jail. It was just to come forward to tell the truth about the upper administrators who were threatening them, telling them stuff. If Johnny can't read, Johnny better read on test day. And people forget that, and the children get lost. And I am so sorry that the message of the children and how harm, really children that look like me, let's just tell the truth. It was black and brown children that were harmed by it. And so people have asked me to just say, hey, you know, it was just him. I took that case. I didn't know much about it. But when I learned and sat on those couches with those babies, I literally cried for them. I cried for futures that were stolen from them. And as the DA, I am going to be setting up programs to restore them, because I don't want that opportunity that was taken to damage the rest of their lives, which is the situation we're in now.
All right. Second question. And this recently came up. There was a forum, and I thought I had the audio. I don't have the audio. But there was a forum where one of your political opponents, candidate Christian Wise Smith, said that Mary Norwood approached him, or they had a conversation about endorsing. And Mary Norwood said she would endorse him if he agreed to put children into labor camps or something like that. And he said, I'm not interested in putting people back in slavery. And then he asked you, what have you done in order to obtain the endorsement of Mary Norwood? And I want to let you answer that question on the program. And we only have a couple of minutes.
Okay. And so if my employer couldn't tell me to do something, what in the world? Listen, it is so offensive. It is so divisive. Me, first of all, Mary Norwood and I never had that conversation. And I really doubt the credibility of the person who said that that conversation took place. But Mary Norwood never asked me, was I going to put kids in slavery? She actually did not ask me about my platform. What she asked me was my experience, to which I told her I've been a chief judge. I've tried lots of cases. Someone that is a mother. I've been a single mother, and I have served this community. And I actually told her, and as I have told the police for their endorsement, I intend to start programs to help children. She said, that is great. I said, in South Fulton, we have where they do community service. They create vision boards. We make people involved in theft by shoplifting go to theft prevention classes so they can know how it affects the community at large. And that pretrial program I had as the chief judge, I plan to bring to Fulton County District Attorney's Office and duplicate it. And I plan to intend to do it before indictment. I find this highly offensive. Anyone that thinks that I would say I'm going to return black children to camps or slavery, it's just ridiculous, and it's a lie.
Finally, we got more on the other side. Thank you for answering both of those. We're going to go to the community for questions. And remember, listeners, they have to be direct questions. You can also leave a direct comment. We have others in the queue, so we're not able to engage in long conversational debate. Ask a question, give your comment. We got to move to the next caller. Fannie Willis has been very gracious with her time. Fulton County District Attorney candidate Fannie Willis, back on the other side. News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
If the topic is money, I'm coming up. She gon' sell to our part without coming up. On the man in the front, you the runner. Really?
Yellow! What's going on, man? It's Yellow Pain, and I woke up with the Rashad Richie Morning Show. You hear me, the realest man on the radio.
What's happening? Welcome back. You're still getting real with the realest man on radio, on the phone with candidate for Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis. She is on the ballot June 9th in the Democratic primary. Let's go to the callers. We have Diana in Midtown. Diana, what is your question or comment?
Yes, my comment is that I appreciate the mindset that Fannie Willis expressed in regards to addressing incidents that may occur that may not necessarily lead or need to lead to an indictment after or even charges. I'm a person that was actually charged for spanking my daughter. It led to an indictment, went before a grand jury, and had to go through the legal system. First, thank God for first-time offender. I fought it. and had to deal and still have it over my head because of the outcome of it. But the mindset of her, of what she said about considering and working with people instead of throwing people into the legal system, because once you're indicted, it's hard to get that off of you. Now I have that over my head. My question is, how can she work with district attorneys in other counties? Because I'm in a different county. How can you work with other district attorneys to consider the same mindset or philosophy that she has when addressing charges or incidents?
Thank you, Diana.
You need a charge.
I appreciate your call. And Fonnie, this is really about the leadership Fulton County can provide in this space. What's your answer to that? Fonnie, are you there? Okay, we're having a technical issue somewhere. Okay. All right. So we're trying to get Fonnie back on the line. I'm not sure what happened, but we need to get her back on the line quickly because we're coming to the end of the show. So let's get Fonnie back on the line. And I'm working behind the scenes trying to text her, and my producer is doing the same. We will keep that question in the queue. I will move to the next question. And as soon as Ms. Willis comes back on air, we will get it answered ASAP. We want to make sure these questions are not just answered, but answered thoroughly. And we're hoping the technical issue gets resolved immediately. Also on the line, we have Lanier in Atlanta. Lanier, good day. What is your question or comment?
Hey, Rashad. When she gets back on the line, can you ask her how is she going to handle a police officer who shoots an unarmed black man in the Fulton County area? Is she going to prosecute it herself or give it to an independent prosecutor?
Okay, I think that's a very good question. Fair question. Thank you, sir, for that question. Alyssa, do we have Fonnie Willis back? Okay, all right. We're going to give that about 30 seconds to get her back on the line. Okay. She's coming back on the line now. And let me know exactly when Fonnie Willis is back. We only have a couple of minutes. We got Fonnie?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so sorry. I don't know what happened. Let me tell you what the first question was. The first question was about your leadership and what could you do as a Fulton County District Attorney to provide direction for other DAs to engage in practices that would not severely penalize individuals who made one mistake in their lifetime. Even though you can't control another county, what leadership could you provide as the Fulton County DA to make sure they embrace some of these more progressive tactics inside of the DA's office that you would be in charge of? And we only have a minute for that answer.
Well, let's make no mistake about it. The Atlanta office, the Fulton County office, is the most important office in the Southeast, anywhere between Washington, D.C. and Miami, I would say. And the policies that we put into place and we show are effective through putting out reports of when we do these things, these are our successes and these are how it benefits the community. Naturally, smaller jurisdictions are going to want to employ them. And I look forward to working with DAs and other counties so that they can use us as a model. I think that we're going to be the best DA's office, you know, south of New York. So I am excited about the opportunity, and I think it's an opportunity that's been squandered for the last 20 years.
The second question came from a gentleman who said, would you directly prosecute cops who are involved in the death of unarmed men or women, or would you hand those cases over to another agency like the GBI?
Well, I think that absolutely we would be involved in the prosecution of them. But the GBI would be involved in investigation of them. But the prosecutor would definitely be my office. I would definitely have my investigators on it. What happens is the GBI investigates. You take their investigation, and then you do your separate and your own investigation. Sometimes they're going on parallel. Sometimes one closes it, meaning the GBI closes it, and we take it up. But it would absolutely be my office that prosecuted those crimes that happened in this jurisdiction.
Okay, we have one more question. I want to get to it. I think this is Divine in Atlanta. Divine, what is your question or comment?
Yes, I actually have a question and a comment. I heard her talking about
the
partial marijuana laws. And I don't know if she knows the history on how those laws are weaponized against the black community. And I don't even know if she has any information.
Well, brother, just what is your question? I got 1 minute left.
Oh, you can't hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, what is your question?
Can you hear me? Yeah, my question is this. My question is this. Is she's going to go with those laws that has been weaponized against black people? The police pull over black people because they say they smell marijuana when no one has marijuana in their cars.
Okay, brother, I think I got your question. Back to the candidate, Fani Willis. What is your stance on marijuana reform in Fulton County?
It's not something that we are going to be prosecuting in the way of, you know, it's not definitely going to have jail time. I think that it is still a crime on the books. We will have to put people in programs, but that is not where the focus of the resources of my office will go.
Fani, thank you so much for coming on the show. You've given us a full hour of your time. Everyone appreciates that. How can people connect with you, check out your platform, and follow you on social media?
Oh, thank you so much. If they'll go to my website, which is www.FaniWillis, which is FaniWillis.com, you can see my platform. We are also on Facebook at Fani Willis for District Attorney. We are also on Instagram, Fani Willis for DA, and Twitter. The best way to connect with me is to message me on Facebook or to message me on the website, www.FaniWillis.com. I thank you for your time. I thank you for this audience for taking the time to listen. We plan to do big things in the upcoming 4 years, and I can't wait to employ you in your knowledge base when we get this pre-trial diversion program, because we're going to start changing lives around, and I am excited about it, and I am excited that I'm going to have wise counselors such as yourself, sir.
Thank you, Fani. It's always a pleasure having you on the show and talking with you. And as I said earlier, you and I have been talking about criminal justice reform way before you even thought about running for DA. So I know you're genuine in that sense. I appreciate you so much for being on the show today. News and Talk, 1380 WAOK.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.